Chapter 1. Gerald, Wednesday, July 27th, 12:45.
This beast is going to need some serious fucking maintenance when we get back.
Gerald chuckles as he dumps the transmission into second gear. Locking up the rear tires, they made a hard left onto a side street.
Shut up! You realize this is the last time I'm letting you drive, right?
Sam grumbles as Gerald shifts back into fifth gear and slams on the gas. The guys chasing them miss the turn, giving them a slim window of escape.
Yeah, yeah, sweetheart,
Gerald teases, earning another scowl from his partner.
You guys are right back there?
He asks, looking in the rearview mirror at Keith and Dominic. The bigger of the two is the first to answer.
Yeah, we're good,
Keith says. For all of Keith's massive muscle and imposing presence, Gerald had been surprised to learn how laid back the other agent really is. The 6'4" Israeli-born groundsman is in no way a pushover, but his hard exterior hides a quick wit and a wicked sense of humor. Gerald laughs when Keith is forced to brace himself with the oh shit bar as they make eye contact in the rearview mirror.
Jesus fuck, you guys are nuts,
Dominic says with a manic grin, the force of the turn tossing him around until he sprawled across the back seat. Dominic Muccino is Keith's partner in every sense of the word. They had announced their engagement when Gerald was being brought in the team. Gerald wouldn't say he was surprised, but he had never really considered the realities of being in a same-sex relationship while being stationed at the Hive. After a few miles without seeing their tail, Gerald slows down, rolling to a stop in a darkened parking lot. He is the first to jump out, gun poised at the ready. He quickly scans the area, looking for anything unusual before heading towards the trunk. This isn't the best part of town. Glass crunches under his boots, but it's dark and secluded enough for them to ditch their disguises, change out the plates, and hopefully slide back out on the road unnoticed. Sammy is probably still sulking because one of his precious babies got a little dinged up. Samuel, don't call me Sammy, right, is his partner and the team's transportation specialist. He's about 5'10", but what he lacks in size, he more than compensates with attitude. While the rest of the team seem to take his inclusion in their stride, his relationship with Sam has been strained at best ever since Gerald's arrival. Not that he hasn't done everything he could think of to make the best of their working relationship, but Sam has been more than a little frosty to his advances.
Samuel.
Sam takes his time before climbing from the vehicle. He needs a minute to keep himself from wringing his partner's neck. The man has zero regard for damaging his vehicles. Not that Sam can blame him for the car chase, but Gerald seems to take pleasure in pissing him off. Case in point, pulling them into this run-down lot. It's too dark to see anything other than the abandoned-looking buildings, but Sam is willing to bet his left nut they've run over at least 5 beer bottles and his tires are ruined. His suspicions are confirmed as the stench of blood, beer, piss, and God knows what else reaches his nose when he finally opens the door. Once he's out, he heads towards the truck. He quickly strips off his disguise, a wig and ridiculously obnoxious bright t-shirt, as he goes. He stops short of the sight that greets him. He has to bite back a groan of appreciation when he notices Gerald half-naked and on his knees, changing out the license plates. Focused on his task, Gerald hasn't noticed him, while Sam is mesmerized by the sweat glistening from Gerald's shoulders. Without the wig and sunglasses to hide Gerald's distinctive features, Sam can't help but stare at his striking profile. It really is a shame to cover Gerald's blonde hair and striking green eyes, but his look is sure to be remembered. Sam clears his throat to alert Gerald of his approach.
It's never a good idea to spook a spook,
he thinks and grins at his own dumb joke.
All set?
Gerald asks, turning towards him with a raised eyebrow. Sam knows he would likely be less jovial if he was the least bit aware of the thorough eye-fucking he just took. If Sam was a better person, he would feel guilty about that.
Yeah, I'm driving back. Let's swing by a drive-thru before heading back,
he grunts. Gerald shrugs and throws in the keys and strolls away.
Jesus, can you two flirt when we're back on the road?
Keith yells out from the window. With a start, Sam realizes he is still staring at Gerald. Sam shakes his head to clear it, but can't help but to watch Gerald's ass as the agent climbs back into the front passenger seat. Sam frowns at his thoughts before quickly turning to throw the rest of his gear into the trunk. Sam flips the smiling Keith the middle finger and quickly pulls on his own t-shirt before stowing away the gear that Gerald thoughtlessly left behind. Assholes.
All of them, assholes.
Gerald.
Gerald is quick to lose his wig and sunglasses. After a few quick changes, they should be able to get back on the road. He grabs the new plate for the car and screwdriver out of Sam's bag before ripping off his t-shirt. Gerald isn't sure if the wannabe gangsters got his plate number, but he would rather err on the side of caution. Now is not the time to get cocky. There's no reason to give local mob thugs looking for them a helping hand to find them. Sam follows him to the back, and he can feel the way the man watches him as he switches over the plates. He looks up and isn't surprised by the way Sam seems to be giving him more than a casual once-over. He's more than used to it. Gerald lifts a brow and asks Sam if he's ready, ignoring the way Sam checks over every inch of flesh when he sees Gerald's not paying attention. To Sam's credit, his response is just as predictable. Gerald has to mentally roll his eyes when Sam's face shuts back down and he pulls on a well-mastered mask of indifference. This game is long past the point of ridiculous. Gerald pulls on his shirt and tosses Sam the keys before heading back up front. He can feel the man's eyes lingering as he heads to the front of the vehicle. They've been partners for 8 weeks now, and the sexual sparks flying between them are so thick that sometimes it's a wonder it hasn't suffocated everyone in the room with them. Gerald tilts the mirror enough to see Sam's face.
"Do you really have to be such an asshole, Keith?"
Gerald asks as he watches Sam frown so hard his eyebrows nearly touch. He has no idea what Keith is doing, but whatever it is, has Sam flipping him the bird before locking eyes with Gerald.
"He's been spending too much time with Natasha. His inner asshole is evolving,"
Dominic chuckles under his breath. Gerald only partially listens to their banter as he and Sam make eye contact. He is too drawn into the intensity of Sam's eyes. Whatever spell the other man has been under disappears when he slams the trunk hard enough to shake the vehicle.
"You know, everyone would be happier if you two just fucked already. I mean, not that watching this disaster in the making isn't entertaining for us all," Keith suggests.
Gerald huffs.
"Stuff it, Keith. No one is fucking anyone."
This conversation is seriously getting old, even though he is in no way opposed to getting his hands on his partner.
"Not yet, but that does explain why you're such a miserable bastard,"
Keith counters, and Gerald really doesn't want to have this conversation in the ops van. In all honesty, it's not a conversation he wants to have at all. At least not with anyone other than the man in question.
"Not even. We are just partners at work, period. Now cut the shit before he gets back. I don't want to have to deal with his attitude,"
Gerald answers tiredly, and it's the truth. Over the last few weeks, he and Sam have had some pretty nasty confrontations, and the last thing he needs is for another one to pop off.
"But,"
Keith starts.
"Can it, babe?"
Dominic murmurs, nodding his head toward Sam's approach. Sam slams into the driver's side and looks around at the silent men in the car. From the contained fury written all over his face, Gerald is sure Sam has worked out what had been up for discussion before his arrival.
"Don't stop talking on account of me," Sam growls,
the tone in his voice promising violence if they utter a word.
"How about you just drive the damn truck and get us all home?"
Gerald snaps, getting more irritated by the muffled laughter he can hear from the two shitheads in the back. Keith has the balls to wink and blow a kiss at him, chiming in,
"Yes, dear,"
right as Sam mercifully pulls them back onto the road and heads in the opposite direction. They all have to hold on as Sam guns it around the corner.
"Lucky, Thursday, July 28th, 0700.
Lucky sits at the conference table in the Situation Room, waiting for his team to gather in order to go over the latest mission sit-rep. The mission had gone like clockwork, but they still had to go through the formalities. The team is all relaxed, joking around good-naturedly with each other and the various other analysts. Times like this make it hard for him to reconcile the fact that someone in this room is most likely a traitor. The team is coming together under a common threat. They need to ferret out the mole that's selling them out before someone gets hurt.
"All right, gentlemen, let's all settle the fuck down,"
Lucky commands, waiting for silence before continuing. The drug cartel was already busy filling the apartment with new drug runners, and the word was already out that they were looking for the people who hit their safe house. They'd wasted little time after the hit to send some men in to search the building. The hit was designed to look like a run-of-the-mill territory. That's the problem with just taking out the guys on the streets. Yes, they're the ones moving the drugs and guns, but they're just small cogs in the machine. It's always a better option long-term to take out the big guns. For right now, though, the CIA is interested in finding out about the young girls they had started to move through the warehouses.
After we finish up with this sit-rep, you are all released on leave. I've been informed that our team is on standby for the foreseeable future. All the information gathered will be sent to our contacts in the FBI, so I'm going to need a play-by-play report written up of how everything went down,
Lucky announces.
In fucking detail. None of this we blew shit up crap.
Samuel.
We were able to enter both targets' homes and offices undetected and upload the tracking viruses in both laptops and desktop computers. The takedown was unremarkable. Although some of their accomplices gave chase, we were able to lose them without further engagement. The takedowns will look like a rival gang, and we were able to get away clean,
Keith reports. Gerald adds,
The vehicle will need some maintenance, but then Sam did let me drive.
He shrugs, chuckling at Sam's pissed-off expression. Lucky pulls out a stack of forms and hands one to each of them.
Very good,
he says, obviously ignoring the jibes.
I expect each one of you to fill out a detailed after-action report. Once they have the info, you're free to go.
Sam glances at the papers. Of course, they need it handwritten.
Damn it, Lucky, why can't they just take a transcript of this meeting?
Sam argues. He doesn't want to spend the next few days going over every detail of the mission.
Don't give me any shit, Sam. You know the goddamn drill. We are teamed up with the feds, so you are all going to have to play nice. With that last shipment, these guys have changed the rules of the game. So stop bitching and just do your fucking jobs. They will call each of you down to go over the mission in detail,
Lucky says, looking each man in the eye. There's still a lot of bad blood between the team and the assholes over at the FBI. When they'd accused Dominic of being a leak, it had nearly led to a shootout in the conference room. But that didn't change the mission. They still had to play nice with these assholes until they find out who ordered the hit on Dominic and if there are any more moles in the hive. Sam knows Lucky's main task is to keep the team motivated and alive as they continue to investigate who inside the hive has turned on them. But the fact that they have to be all buddy-buddy with the FBI drones pisses Sam off to no end.
Oh yeah, and I want everyone doing some individual and partner training in the meantime. I'll have some team drills set up within the next week,
Lucky adds.
Just because we're off rotation doesn't mean you get to sit on your hands.
He dismisses the team with a wave of his hand. And isn't that just a kick in the nuts? He has less than zero interest in spending any more time with Gerald today, or any time outside a mission. He just needs some space away from the spook before he does something reckless like try to cram his dick down the man's throat. Sam blows out an aggravated breath. It's pointless to argue, and really, what can he say? I don't want to train with my partner today, because any time I'm alone with him for more than 5 minutes, I'm left nursing an inappropriate boner. Yeah, somehow he doesn't think that revelation is going to garner him any sympathy with the rest of his teammates.
Gerald, 0900. Hey, Sammy. I was heading down to the range. You up for some drills?
Gerald asks. They're in the basement of the hive. Once outside the Situation Room, the dreary cement walls echo his words loud enough that Gerald flinches, and he almost has to sprint to catch up with Sam when he darts down the hall. Sam slows down enough for Gerald to catch up, but his face is anything but friendly as he huffs.
Nah, man, I'm just gonna head to my room. And how many times am I gonna have to tell you don't call me Sammy?
It's obvious Sam's trying to dismiss him without a long, drawn-out conversation. Gerald smiles brightly. He is not easily dissuaded, and he's determined that they are going to clear up whatever the problem is between them. Gerald could lie to anyone and say his interest in his partner was purely professional or platonic, but that feral desire to be near the driver is a topic best left for when they are alone. For now, he'll settle for forcing Sam to at least treat him like a human being outside of the mission. Gerald decides to try the easiest track, training. They need to be a cohesive unit, and working together is the only way to make that happen.
Want some company? Lucky wants us spending more time training as a team.
He asks in what he hopes is a neutral tone. Sam stops so suddenly that it's just reflexes that keep them from colliding.
What the fuck, Gerald? We're not a couple of chicks. We're not gonna skip to my room holding hands. What's next? You wanna braid my hair and paint my nails?
Sam snarls, his beautiful face twisted in an ugly frown. It also draws Gerald's eyes to the tightly braided long brown hair in question. Samuel is handsome to the point of being distracting, and more than once Gerald's found himself wondering what Sam would look like if he wore his hair down. But instead of getting lost in that fantasy, Gerald forces on his irritation at Sam's juvenile insults.
What's your fucking problem, Sammy? Why's it always gotta come down to some no-homo bullshit with you?
Gerald knows that using the nickname will provoke a reaction. Not a positive one, but at this point it seems pointless to fuck around with niceties. Sam visibly bristles before pivoting back to stand so close their noses nearly touching. Gerald can feel his dick twitch with interest at their proximity. He reflexively takes a step back until the wall touches his shoulders. This situation can go bad in so many ways. He could either get slammed against the wall or kissed within an inch of his life. And at this point, he is willing to accept either. Or both.
There is no problem other than you not knowing when to back the fuck off,
Sam snaps, pushing in closer. Gerald absently licks his lips, and Sam's eyes track the movement. In that moment, there is no doubt that the interest is mutual. Gerald's heart speeds up as Sam seems to take his time eyeing him with a look that is predatory at best. But before he can move forward, Eric and Natasha walk up and the moment is shattered. Sam's eyes snap back up as he pushes away as if he was burned and all but vanishes in the opposite direction. Gerald drops his head back to the wall he'd found himself pressed against, willing his pulse to slow and watching the man that has somehow become the center of his attentions run away without a backwards glance.
Well, that was smooth, Natasha teases.
Eric, at least, has the decency to look embarrassed at their interruption, but Gerald's got no patience for dodging the Russian agent's verbal assaults today. On the outside, Natasha is anything but intimidating, and people's easy dismissal of her as a threat has led to a staggering body count to her credit.
Fuck you, Natasha. Dealing with that asshole is more than enough for the day, so unless you want something other than busting my balls, you can just keep fucking walking,
Gerald grinds out angrily. Natasha doesn't even flinch. Instead, she just keeps talking like he hadn't said a thing.
Don't be such a whiny bitch, Gerald. It's not our fault your man isn't living up to the hype. Maybe he's just taking a break from trying to fuck his way through the Northern Hemisphere, she says, waving her hand dismissively.
Of course, because God hates him, Keith chooses that moment to walk up.
Ha! I'd believe that if his dick was broken or he was on his deathbed. I think it's more that he doesn't like our boy.
He jokes, and Gerald seriously considers punching him in the throat. Honestly, he must have murdered a busful of nuns and puppies in a past life. Dominic steps up.
I swear to fucking God, I'm gonna goddamn muzzle your ass if you keep up with this shit, Keith. As a matter of fact, here, take Natasha, and you two go make some other people miserable for a while.
He says, manhandling the woman around like he's not taking his own life into his own hands. His eyes are steady on Gerald, like he knows the man is on the edge. Gerald decides that he owes the guy a case of beer. Keith laughs, kissing Dominic quietly.
I love you too. All right, I'll catch up with you later. Then we get to go over some of the plans.
Gerald doesn't stick around to hear the rest. He takes this as his chance to bail and damn near breaks into a run as he heads to the stairs. The Situation Room is located in the basement. So that leaves only one avenue of escape, and that is exactly what Gerald needs to do right now. Escape. Keith and the others often fail to realize that not everyone likes to have their personal business up for public debate. This is one of the biggest drawbacks with so many men living and working together. There are no fucking boundaries, and Natasha's worse than all the men put together. Gerald had almost made it all the way to the stairs before Dominic is calling after him.
Hey, Gerald, where are you going? Dominic asks.
I'm just going to grab some chow before heading to the range,
Gerald answers shortly. He isn't at all surprised when Dominic follows him down the flight of stairs and towards the doors. He's just about to grab the door when Dominic stops him with a hand on his arm.
Look, Gerald, don't let Keith get to you. He's just fucking around. He doesn't realize he's not funny. I blame that on him being best friends with Natasha. That fact alone should clue you in that he's not right in the head,
Dominic jokes, obviously trying to diffuse the tension he can see radiating off him. He'd have to be blind not to notice. Gerald really doesn't have a problem with the sniper. Hell, on the average day, he would say the man is a friend. So he doesn't growl at the touch and attempts to shake off the aggravation and tension between them by teasing back.
Says the man that's about to marry him,
he says as he pulls open the door and steps into the corridor. Dominic laughs and nods.
True, but that just means I'm completely insane,
he agrees. Gerald can't help but laugh at his easy acceptance.
Yeah, I've heard that about you.
Gerald grabs a pack of cigarettes from his back pocket. He doesn't like smoking inside the building, but right outside the door will have to do. Right now, he just needs a fucking smoke, or maybe to punch someone in the face, or a blowjob. He's really not that picky.
Dominic, 0920.
Dominic reaches for his lighter as Gerald pats himself down. He rarely smokes anymore. That is one of the first habits Keith had encouraged him to kick in his own unique way. Every day Dominic went without a cigarette entitled him to one sexual favor. Needless to say, he's had a lot less cigarettes and a lot more blowjobs since that incentive plan was initiated. Dominic waves a Zippo in front of Gerald's face, enough to get his attention.
Hey, I'll trade you a light if I can bum a smoke from you, Dominic offers.
Thanks,
Gerald accepts easily.
I didn't even know you smoked,
he says before he lights his cigarette and hands over the pack. Dominic shrugs.
I don't. Well, not often. I'm trying to kick it for the wedding,
Dominic explains, leaving out the specific detail of the agreement he and Keith had negotiated. That first drag burns, and after a month without smoking, he feels the effects immediately.
Ah, so I get to be a bad influence, Gerald says, shaking his head.
Of course, and when Keith bitches about smelling it on me, I'll just blame it on him constantly fucking with you. Tell him he had you crying your eyes out on my shoulder. It'll be a win-win situation. I don't get to hear his shit, and maybe he'll back off the bullshit with you.
Gerald's laugh is loud, and Dominic is relieved they seem to have left the hostility inside.
I see many a flaw in that logic, Dominic.
Gerald disagrees. Dominic flicks away the half-smoked cigarette.
Yeah, like what? My plans are perfect,
he probes.
Let me see if I got this right. Your plan is to basically tell Keith, who is a giant 12-year-old, that he has teased me so bad that I was outside crying like a little bitch? Yeah, you're right. That is a great plan. I can see it now. That's a great way to get him off my back. Thanks, Dominic.
Gerald offers sarcastically, crushing his smoke with his boot. Dominic has to laugh. Yeah, that would make Keith's ear. He'd probably be so pleased with himself that he'd have to jerk off just thinking about it. Dominic is laughing so hard he is hiccuping while trying to agree. He finally chokes out,
Okay, you're right. That is a horrible plan.
As they head back inside, Dominic wades Gerald off when the other man asks if he wants to grab lunch. He needs to find Keith so they can go over the invitations for their fast-approaching nuptials. He isn't sure what, if anything, is going on between Gerald and Sam, but he's determined to get Keith to back off. He remembers what it was like to have Natasha questioning his every move, and he wouldn't wish that kind of scrutiny on his worst enemy. End of chapter 1.